Businessman David Gonski, who chaired a comprehensive review into school funding in Australia, has spoken for the first time since last year's change of government in Canberra. Addressing a forum organised by the Australian College of Educators, Mr. Gonski urged the Abbott government to maintain increased funding for schools. He defended the billion-dollar investment that his review recommended, and he said more money was an inevitable consequence of the terms of reference, that no school should lose a dollar. To bring all schools up to standard, then, more money has to be spent. Here's part of David Gonski's speech to the Australian College of Educators.
If I have a regret, it's the decision which we took to include in the report calculations of what our suggestions on a new school resource standard were likely to cost. Ironically, not many of the words of the review covered this, but I and my colleagues felt, having outlined a new funding formula and having done a lot of work in costing it, that we should show what we had done. This, we felt, would evidence the depth of the analysis we'd undertaken. We also wanted, by noting the amount, to put it into context. We knew that the additional cost to governments, which was noted as $5 billion based on 2009 numbers, was a large number. But we also knew that it was an increase of just under 15% of all government recurrent funding for schooling that year. And we also knew that it was less than 0.5 of 1% of the gross domestic product of Australia for that year. Our calculations were based on our terms of reference and the announcement of the government of the time that no school will lose a dollar per student as a result of our review. Obviously, on that basis, any change we proposed to existing funding of necessity would involve more money. If you have a cake and the proportions of it are already divided, if you want to change the monies given, you actually have to get more cake. In retrospect, the decision to mention the number clouded the entire response to our review. Major media outlets talked of further billions for education, and no doubt those who had to find the amount were very bluntly reminded of what was involved. In fact, our review was more subtle than an ask just for more money. Lost in the discussion for more money were the central tenets of our review. We advocated funding to be unified, i.e., given by state and federal governments to the different sectors together, rather than states substantially funding their school systems and the bulk of the Commonwealth funding being as a consequence paid to independent and faith-based schools. We wanted a transparent method for determining funding, which was based on aspirational education outcomes rather than last year's costs. We saw the AGSRC as rather an opaque calculation based on historic costs without a necessary focus on what was sought as the outcomes. We wanted to lock in formulas for a period of time so that those operating school systems and schools themselves would be able to plan on a longer term basis. And we advocated a funding system based on need. One of the easiest decisions we were able to take is that what we as a review team believed equity should mean. We believed that in determining a suitable funding system, one had to absolutely be aware that differences in educational outcomes should not be the result of differences in wealth, income, power, or possessions. And let me tell you, that was a unanimous view. Flowing from this, a funding system based on need was both obvious and extremely important. We suggested five groups of disadvantage for which we felt there was a need for loadings to be made in any resource funding system. We found this task relatively easy, and I believe what we came up with is still correct. The concept of loadings for low socioeconomic, for those who are disabled, for those who are Indigenous, for those who don't have English as their first language, and those who live in remote areas covered what we saw as the areas of need and where we believed improvement could be made if money was available. I note that the actual amount of the loadings is a much more difficult area, and we acknowledged in the text of our report that they were put as a guide and that different views may prevail as to how each should be weighted and how in accumulation they should be dealt with together. We advocated that all sectors should receive government funding. We believed this was right both in principle and based on history and practice. We felt that state school systems and special schools should be funded to the level of 100% of any calculated school resource standard. The level of funding between 20 and 90% given to other systems and schools, we believe, should be based on a concept of capacity to charge fees, as distinct from what fees were actually charged. We suggested the last part reluctantly, as we knew that we were using the same system as was presently in use at the time, based on socioeconomic standing from area census figures. We were, however, and made it very clear, open to finding an alternative over time to the SES approach. We advocated some independence of governments and designated sectors in the determination of formulas once the aspiration had been conceived and agreed upon. We believed that this was the way to do it on the basis of good governance. So we wanted to ensure no allegations could be made that calculations were opaque and indeed not correct in their calculation. I should add, we suggested that aspirations should change over time. Our suggested aspiration to get started was a benchmark that at least 80% of students achieve above the national minimum standard in both reading and numeracy across the three most recent years of NAPLAN results. Most of you would know that approximately 1,600 out of the approximately 10,000 schools at the time actually achieved that aspiration. Some asked the question, why look at money? Why not rather put your efforts into looking more into class sizes, productivity of teachers, etc., etc.? Each time I heard this, I knew that the person asking it had either not read the terms of reference of our review or indeed the review itself. Ours was a funding review. Our terms of reference were not to work out how best to deliver education or indeed educational outcomes, but how to fund them. If it had been the former, a business person like me would not have been the best choice to chair it, and indeed many of you here tonight would have been a better choice. We did in Chapter 5 of our report make some comments on improving excellence in school education. Inherent in that chapter was an acknowledgement that certain essential elements are needed for a successful school education system. But that was not the essence of what we were asked to opine on. Interesting, the whole methodology of our thinking was to establish a new school resource standard, which had plugged into it an aspiration and then a determination by looking across the breadth of the country over all its sectors and determining who is achieving that aspiration and what it is costing. That cost then would actually drive the resulting formulas.
David Gonski, Chair of the Expert Panel on School Funding. This is EdPod and I'm Anthony Fennell.
I was in the house and all you heard was bang, 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 and what had the light doing?
What's all the shooting about, do you know?
No.
For the children who grew up on the violent streets of Belfast, this history lives on.
Born and bred Ardine.
John Laverty. Bally Murphy.
Something like 23% of the murders were committed within a square mile.
For me as an adult, I shudder to think what it's like for a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old.
Hindsight, online at the RN website.